how many children there are in active families. I'd like to know that. Children, young people, and the active families in this church. Two big families missing this week, I understand. Anyway, we're going to continue with our studies now in Mastering the English Bible, Volume 1. And we are in the life of Isaac, Jacob, and the end of Esau's life. And so we saw how that Isaac was born in Beersheba. And in the fulfillment of God's great promise to Abraham, as he had said, as he had spoken, God cannot lie. That's emphasized all the way through Scripture. And so Isaac was born 25 years after the promise God made to Abraham. 25 years Abraham had to wait. 25 years God was working on him every day. He was 75 when he entered the land. Genesis 12:4. He was 100 when Isaac was born. Genesis 21:5. And Isaac, his name is Laughter. His birth was the occasion of great joy. And it looks ahead to the birth of Christ, the greater Isaac, the greater son of Abraham. And the angel said, it was an occasion of good tidings of great joy. Christ, he will bring eternal joy to multitudes. We haven't begun to see the joy that comes from Christ. And so Hagar then despised Sarah. Ishmael mocked Isaac. And they were evicted. And they journeyed down to the south toward Egypt into the wilderness. And Ishmael had to be sent away, had to be done because it cannot inherit with Isaac. They were going back toward Egypt apparently. And they're out in the region of Shur, south of Beersheba. They've run out of water. They despaired of life. The angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar again, showed her a well of water, and she called it. She named that well, but Ishmael dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. Now there it is. It's way out in the desert. Then up north of that is the wilderness of Zin. That's a terrible desert. And on our Israel tours, I like to go down to the south. Most people don't go there, but we usually start down at the Red Sea, way down there, and then go up to the north, and we go right through the wilderness of Zin, part of the wilderness of Paran. But nice roads today, air-conditioned vehicle, not what they had. But it's a wilderness. So that's where Ishmael dwelt. Abraham then was required to take Isaac up to Moriah to offer him to God. He came up from the south. Salem was where Melchizedek was. We don't know if Abraham stopped in there or not, but he went to the hill north of there, Moriah. Moriah. And when Abraham was just ready to slay Isaac, he was ready, had the knife ready. God told him not to and showed him the ram in the thicket. And God gave that ram as the substitute for Isaac, all pointing to Christ, of course. Every bit of this pointing to Christ. Amazing typology that God loves to draw pictures for people. It's not only children that need pictures. And so, all pointing to the Lamb of God, which John the Baptist said, John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Whole Old Testament is like John the Baptist there. And then Sarah died in Hebron. She's buried there. Abraham is also buried there. Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Leah are buried there. And Abraham contracted for a piece of land, that piece of land in Hebron's city gate. And this is what those ancient city gates looked like. And there they would transact business. And they would have judgments, and judges would rule there. This is a reconstructive drawing of the Dan Gate, going back to the time of Abraham. It was a magnificent gate. Of course, it was more beautiful than this. And benches, they would have benches in these gates for the judges to sit and the courts to have. And these are the benches that still exist in the gate at Beersheba. The cave of the patriarchs. It was surrounded by walls by Herod the Great, 1st century B.C. These walls are Herod's walls. Massive stones, just like he used for the temple and the temple mount. And then a Byzantine church was built inside of there. That's open. And in the 4th century A.D., that was replaced by a Muslim mosque in the 7th century. And then a Crusader church was built in there in the 12th century. And then another mosque by Saladin, who conquered the Crusaders later on, just exchanging hands. But this is it today. That wall was built by Herod. It's a magnificent wall, huge, huge cut stones. Today, there's a mosque on one side, and then there's a Jewish synagogue on the other side. They don't mingle together, of course. There's lots of fightings at times. But the tombs of Abraham and Sarah are there. You can just see down through the grills and can't see anything. And so, a bride for Isaac, Eliezer. When Isaac was 40, Abraham sent his servant up to Haran to get a bride for Isaac. And Eliezer came to the well and had tested. He gave God some standards there by which he could test the girl's character and the will of God at the same time. Very genius prayer. And so Rebecca passed that with flying colors. She said, "Yeah, I'll give you a drink and your camels too." And this is serious business, because one camel can drink 30 to 40 gallons of water after a long trip like that. And so back to the well, and back to the well, Rebecca, a hardworking girl, and hospitable to a stranger. She did that voluntarily. Nobody asked her to do it. This guy's a stranger. She doesn't have any idea she might get some personal gain by that. And so there's Eliezer watching her do this. Those thirsty camels. And when the family said, "Will you go with this man?" Rebecca said, "Yes, I'll go. And I'll go to that back to Isaac." She had never seen him. It's all a picture of faith in Christ. It's all pointing to Christ. Everything in the Bible does. And so down they come. Back down from up north of Damascus, and down through the Canaan, and back to the well, the place where Hagar named Lahairoi, south of Beersheba, way down there, below the Dead Sea, and that's where Isaac was had his tents, and they got married, and Isaac inherited the Abrahamic covenant. It's God's plan. Isaac's the one. Promised seed. And his eternal plan is being fulfilled. And God spoke directly to Isaac and gave him that promise directly to him. Same covenant he gave to Abraham. And then we saw how Abraham had other sons through Keturah. And that's a mysterious thing, but the Bible tells us about it. And before he died, Abraham sent those sons away to the east. And so the sons of Ishmael, up in that northern part of the Arabian Peninsula, even over toward Ur, and then the sons of Keturah was further south, all up to the east. And they became vicious, terrible enemies of Israel to this very day. That's their territory. And then in the 6th century, the AD, the Arabians birthed the religion of Islam by Muhammad, who claimed to be the descendant of Ishmael. According to their tradition, Ishmael and Hagar buried in Mecca. They're in Mecca here. And here's Israel. Here is Sheba. It was down in here where the Queen of Sheba came up to seek Solomon. So the Arabians. All these people with such vicious, terrible, perpetual hatred against the God of Israel, the God of Isaac. And we've mentioned this book before. Scripture prophesies that this hatred will be the catalyst for the final judgments to come down upon the whole world. Indeed, eventually. And here we see today Israel surrounded by Muslim nations, which really are the offspring of Ishmael, either physically or spiritually, Arabs, and how the Arabs have, their religion has permeated the whole world, large portions of it. Huge part of Africa, and they're just surrounded, little tiny Israel. And they're not satisfied with that. They want to destroy Israel and take her land too, because they don't have any land. Abraham's death, we read about in Genesis 25. And he was buried there in Machpelah, in that same place, as we've seen. And then Jacob comes along. It's Jacob's turn to inherit Abraham's covenant. And he was born there. And born to Isaac and Rebekah. They were dwelling down in Lahairoi. That was near Kadesh Barnea, way down south. And they had the twin sons, Esau and Jacob, born the same day, but very different. And God had already chose Jacob, and God had told Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob's the one. So we see Jacob's character. He took hold of the heel of his brother, like he's wanting to pull him down and go out first. And that was his character. And they named him that, heel catcher, Jacob, supplanter. That's what he is by nature. But God's called him Israel, and God created Israel by his grace. Esau sells his birthright that day when he was hungry and wanted some soup. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup and some bread. Esau. And he was called Edom. Red. And that's his people. He's the father of the Edomites south of the Dead Sea. Gave Israel lots of trouble. Rebekah and Jacob deceived Isaac that day. They schemed. Isaac was going to give the birthright to Esau. And he should have known better than that. But the whole thing was wrong. Every one of them sinned in that matter. They were not trusting God. They were not living by faith and obedience. And it turned out to be a terrible mess. And so Jacob had to go flee from Esau. And he went up to Haran to get a wife. Up to Haran. Spent the night in Luz. And there he saw the ladder to heaven, and God standing up there at top, and the angels ascending and descending, ministering spirits. We can't see them, but they're active. They are very active, constantly. It's also a picture of Christ as a mediator between God and man. Bridge from God to man. So again, we warn about the Bible artwork and these winged women. Usually they have winged women or winged men, but those are not biblical angels. The cherubims and seraphims have wings, but they don't appear to men and run errands like that. They are associated with God's throne. They're different kind of angelic creatures. And that night, God gave Jacob Abraham's covenant there. And God and Jacob named the place Bethel. As we've seen, Bethel. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. They're mentioned together 33 times in the Bible. 33 verses. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's God's plan. Those are God's men. And Jacob named a place Bethel, house of God. Became a very special place in God's plan. It already was in Abraham's life. Jacob built an altar of God there. And that's the first altar we read about in Jacob's life. And we don't read about another altar till he comes back, as far as the Bible says. Altars, worshiping God, being right with God, having God in the right place in your life, an altar. And so he went on up to Haran. He married Rachel and Leah because of Laban's trickiness. But God's in control of all those things. And the 12 sons became the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob met Rachel at the well and worked 7 years for her, got tricked and got Leah, worked another 7 years for her. And so after 20 years, God told Jacob to return to Bethel. Back to Bethel, Jacob. So back from Haran, Hamath, that was a major city then, and down Damascus and down toward. But he actually didn't head to Bethel exactly, as we will see. And so he came back with a troop. He went to Haran alone. And now he has 2 wives and 11 sons and a daughter and large herds of cattle and servants and camels. He's coming back pretty rich. God indeed blessed him. God said, I'll bless you. And from Damascus, we know that Jacob came down to King's Highway, because it was in Gilead that Laban caught up with him, and they made their covenant there. And God had appeared in a dream to Laban and warned him, don't do anything to Laban. So they made a peace covenant. And Rachel had stolen her father's idols, and that's a horrible thing. She hid it in the camel's furniture, the seat where they sat on the camel. And she lied to her father and said she couldn't get up because it's the time of month for her. And that's a bad situation for Rachel. And so Laban went off back to Haran. Jacob continues down to the Jabbok River. And there, he gets the news that Esau is coming. Jabbok River. So he goes across to the south on that highway. But now he's going to go across to the southern, on the southern shore over to here. And like that. Across underneath it to the south and down towards Sukkot. And he saw that band of angels there, right there in Mahanaim, two camps. God was trying to encourage him and help him. But he was worried. He got news that Esau was coming with 400 men up from Edom. They could get news fast in those days. It was amazing. He had sent his servants down there, and right away he heard that they were coming. So he sent those 3 troops of gifts to try to appease Esau. And so he sent his family across, back across the Jabbok to Sukkot. And he's over there. He's over there alone, south of the river. This is the Jabbok today, over in Jordan. You've got to go to Jordan to see the Jabbok in the country of Jordan. And it's not a real big river, but it's way down in some parts. It's really rugged. And it's way down in that valley, in this rugged country, Jabbok. And so here we are, Gilead, and then Sukkot and Penuel and the Jabbok River. Topographical map. just across the Jordan Valley is Shechem. Everything's close there. Everything's close. It's just a few miles. It's a very small country. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night in prayer. And God was in control of Jacob's life to bring him to that place. We've done a study on that. Oh, there's a lot there. And that night, God named Jacob Israel, having power with God. That's God's name. That's what God chose Jacob to be. That's totally 100% by 100% grace. Again, we were warned about Bible artwork and the ridiculous Bible artwork that we see. Here's Rembrandt over there. He didn't have a clue. Jacob named the place Peniel, facing God. He knew that that was not a man. That's God. Pre-incarnate Christ. So that morning, next morning, Esau arrived with 400 men. And the Bible says he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, Jacob did, until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. So it was a warm greeting. There could be no doubt that Esau had some harm in his mind when he first took off from Edom. But God changed all that. And they had a good reunion. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Sukkoth. So he went back across Jabbok that day. And he built a house and made booths for his cattle. It's the first time we read that the patriarch's building a house. But it's in Sukkoth. It's not in Bethel. God said, go to Bethel. He's not in Bethel. And this is going to cause trouble. So Jacob then moved to Shechem. We don't know how long. But he built a house in Sukkoth, so it wasn't a couple days. And he went over then to Shechem, and he built an altar there. Built an altar there, and he called God the God of Israel. El Elohe Israel. God, the God of Israel. They like to repeat things and emphasize things by repetition. It can also almost seem boring, but it's repetition. It's actually very powerful language. And the Hebrew language is full of that. God had told him to go to Bethel. He's not in Bethel. He's not even going to Bethel. He's settled in Shechem now. And that's where Abraham had built his first altar. Jacob built an altar there. But they had a big mess in Shechem. Because Jacob's daughter Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land. See what they're doing. And then she was seduced by Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite. So Canaanite seduced her. He was the prince of the country, the ruler of the city of Shechem. And that was the fruit of Jacob's slowness to obey. Why is he not in Bethel? He should have been in Bethel. Why is he up in Shechem? This is wrong. Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land. Let's see what's happening out there. Evil communications corrupt good manners. One of the most greatest dangers to our children there is the world and the associations. It just takes one wrong friend corrupt a young person's life. Just one wrong friend, young fellows. Dinah's brothers Simeon and Levi deceived and killed the men of Shechem. They killed all the men of the city for the treatment of their sister. And God again told Jacob, go to Bethel. So finally he did. And before leaving Shechem, God commanded his children to put away the strange gods that are among you. So they were backslidden. They were very backslidden. We saw that Rachel had stolen one of the gods of her father Laban. There was still idolatry mixed up into this situation. And so Jacob realized this is wrong. So they buried them. He had them buried him. He should have had them burned. But they buried them under a tree. Oak tree. Jacob's family, we can see how terrible they were. The spiritual condition They had adapted many of the ways of the heathen. One of the greatest dangers to any church is the world, the ways of the world, the lure of the world. And so finally, Jacob goes to Bethel. And he builds an altar there where he saw the ladder. And it's called El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Again, we see this repetition. But you're supposed to, with the Bible, you're supposed to slow down and think. You're not supposed to rush. Good hymns are that way. If they're thoughtful, good, deep hymns. A lot of our hymns are very shallow. But the Bible is for slowing down and thinking and meditating on every detail. I mean, you can flip right over that. The God, the house of God. No, the God. The house of God. And it's all Jehovah. And that's how we're supposed to think. God is using Hebrew to teach us how to think. And we have a good translation of it. God appeared to Jacob there and reconfirmed the covenant. Finally, he's back in where he's supposed to be in Bethel. How slow we can be to obey God. But it always is harmful. It's always harmful. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. Kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Oh, it's great stuff. God speaking to you. God speaking to you. God speaks to me all the time. All the time. Through this book, through by his Spirit. All the time God speaks to me. Isaac only heard his voice once in a while, Jacob and these men. Every day, all the time, the Holy Spirit. Indwelling? Oh, what riches we have. In Bethel, Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died and was buried. And then Jacob journeyed toward Bethlehem, Ephrathah. And there Rachel died. Rachel, the beloved wife. And died in childbirth while bearing number 12, Benjamin. Died in childbirth. Rachel called his name, Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow. Jacob said, no, Benjamin, son of the right hand. Oh, he was special. He was a favorite. And he was a special one in Jacob's eyes. And so Isaac died. Jacob finally returned to his father in Hebron. Long time. We don't know exactly how long he was there before Isaac died. But Isaac died at an older age than his father Abraham did. 180 years old and was buried by Jacob and Esau. There where we've seen. And so the Esau and Edom. Esau and Edom. God continues the account there in Genesis about and tells us the history of Esau. Genesis 36, it gives us a record of Esau's descendants, and it was fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that Esau would be a nation. God keeps his promises. It's a record of the founding of Edom that goes back to that day with the red soup and how that Esau became Edom, Mr. Red, and his descendants were named after that, which was a shameful thing. And they always hated God. But Edom and the Edomites are mentioned 107 times in the Bible. Edom is called Mount Seir. And that was the capital city, Selah. There. So here's Edom down below the Dead Sea, and the wilderness of Zin there, and actually the wilderness of Paran over here, and some more Zin. Down here is the Red Sea. And so that's Edom's territory. It's a bunch of desert. But Selah is also known as Petra. And both mean rock. One is Greek, one is Hebrew. Petra, very famous. Petra, the city of Petra, was located in the midst of the mountains of Edom. It was lost for hundreds of years. It was a magnificent city. Here's that area now. Panning across, it's desolate. it is desolate. Petra was down in there. And as a result, it was incredibly secure. Edom dwelt in the rocks, the prophet said. And it's located down in this canyon. Petra was a wealthy city on the spice route from southern Arabia to Egypt, Israel, and beyond. And so up through the desert, there were these roads, these caravan roads, all the way from Sheba down in the south, Queen of Sheba. Spice route. Great amounts of wealth came from those spice kingdoms down south and up then through camel caravans across the desert, Edom, Egypt. And there's Sheba in southern Arabia and Arabia and then Persia up here and Mesopotamia and India over there. It was all, these are commercially connected in ancient times. This is modern times, but still they use camels in that desert. And a little dog back there. And this is an Arab. And the spice trade, hugely profitable. Frankincense was 6 denarii a pound. 1 silver denarii could purchase 10 donkeys. So 1 pound of incense was worth 60 donkeys, 1 pound. It's extremely valuable stuff. Myrrh was 50 denarii a pound, so 1 pound of myrrh was worth 500 donkeys. Donkeys were valuable. Could carry stuff. Donkey comes in handy. Frankincense. I've ridden on a donkey. Donkeys are strong. Frankincense. Myrrh. So the prophets, many of the prophets spoke of Edom and said it would become desolate. Edom shall be a desolation, Jeremiah said. Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, Joel said. I will make myrrh seer, most desolate, God said to Ezekiel, through Ezekiel. Edom, most desolate. It was a kingdom. They had these cities, magnificent cities all along there. Not just Petra and Seir. They had other cities along that spice route. Walled cities, magnificent cities. There's nothing left but a few ruins. This is over in Israel, southern Israel, which I've gone through these ruins. It's an ancient Edomite city on the spice route. There's Edom. Looks to me like God fulfilled his word. A desolate wilderness. And so that is Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. We're going to close there tonight at coming down to the time of Joseph, and our studies in Genesis, almost finished with Genesis.